coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us today Paul Weyrich of the Free Congress Foundation, and Paul's been back in Washington, D.C. now for well over a generation. He was an old-timer there when Ronald Reagan came into power, and he's always been on the side of trying to preserve our freedom, trying to limit the power of government, trying to get responsible people into the houses of the Congress and the Senate. Paul, thank you so much for being with us today.
Delighted to be with you, Stan.
Well, what are the really important issues that we should be addressing today, you know, as we look at the political perspective back there in Washington, D.C.?
Well, there are a number of them. I happen to think that the homosexual marriage issue is very important from a cultural standpoint. I think that certain issues relating to the Patriot Act are not being properly dealt with by the administration, and I don't know that George Bush, if reelected, would misuse his power, but I sure know that if we get President Hillary Clinton, or even President John Kerry, that the opportunity is going to be there to, in some way, misuse this act. And it needs to be reined in by the Congress, and unfortunately, the Congress doesn't seem to want to do anything about it.
Well, so many of the conservatives, though, say this is a wonderful act. We have to have the Patriot Act, and anybody who speaks out against it, like you're doing, will be equated with being pro-terrorist, pro-Arab, anti-American, and I share your concerns. I think this is a very dangerous precept that we will give up our freedom in the name of protecting our freedom.
Well, that's exactly right. there are a few things that could be done. I mean, you know, I agree that the part of the Patriot Act which mandates sharing of information between the different agencies, CIA, FBI, so on, is absolutely essential. And the fact that they didn't share information was an outgrowth of the Frank Church hearings in the 1970s, where, you know, he basically helped put our intelligence system out of business. He disclosed several agents, and you know, people were afraid to be an agent, and then the legislation came that these agencies had an iron wall. You know, the FBI had to have something domestic they could share with local police, but they couldn't share it with the CIA. The CIA had, you know, foreign activity, but they were not able to pass it on to the FBI and so on. And you know, that part of the act I support, and I think every good American should support it. But in that act, they do not define what a terrorist is.
And I really think that's so frightening. Here we have a whole attack, a whole new body of law dealing with terrorism, and they never define what a terrorist is. They never once mention Islamic terrorism. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Paul Weyrich. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Paul Weyrich of the Free Congress Foundation. And Paul has been back in Washington, D.C. For more years than I can remember, leading the move, the conservative move, really to limit the power of government. And, of course, we were just talking about what some of the issues are that really face us today. And one of the things that Paul has brought up is the Patriot Act. And he's concerned that many of the provisions in the Patriot Act really threaten our individual freedom. And even if George Bush is reelected, well, but what would happen if Hillary Clinton or even John Kerry had these draconian powers? And Paul was just saying he agrees with some of the act, but certainly there are parts of the act that really bother him. Would you like to discuss what those parts of the act are that you were concerned about, and I think every American should be concerned about?
Well, it starts right at the definition of who is a terrorist and what constitutes terrorism. I'm concerned about this because the way it stands right now, the Attorney General makes that determination, and the a new Attorney General, just like we had Janet Reno, you know, could come in and say, well, people who disagree with government policies are terrorists. And you and I, Stan, regardless of who is in power, are probably going to have some disagreements with the party in power. I mean, I have disagreements with the Bush administration very strongly, even though I support his reelection. But, you know, if that gets changed, then all of a sudden you and I become the terrorists. And then there is the ability to track us down, imprison us without any rights. I mean, you know, it is a very draconian piece of legislation.
Because they were so intentionally vague in what the terrorist was, and not one mention of the word Islamic terrorist there, and it's so vague that, as you say, they could define anybody as a terrorist. I don't think, why would they have put such vague wording in there? Why weren't they specific? This was about Islamic terrorism, and not people who disagreed with government.
Well, that bill was rushed through. They had tried to get a bill similar to that through the Congress the previous year. Congress said, not on your life. We're not going to do it. But in the hysteria following 9/11, Congress wanted to be seen as doing something. You know, they
hold that thought right there. We're going to have to bring our other stations right back with us.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Paul Weyrich. We're talking about the Patriot Bill and how it came about, and Paul is saying that in the hysteria following the 9/11 attack, why Congress, which had repudiated many of the concepts that were in the Patriot Bill the previous year when they tried to get it through, was more or less stampeded into passing this very, really, truly draconian legislation. Would that be a fair statement?
That is absolutely a summary of what I just said.
Right. Go ahead. Well, the people out there, some of the people listening across the nation didn't hear that, so you pick it up and go from there.
Well, we have to define what is a terrorist and what constitutes terrorism. We need to have that definition in law. It should not be up to the Attorney General to make that determination. I talked to John Ashcroft about it, and he said he was open to discuss the matter. I don't know how far discussions are going to get, but my colleague Steve Lilienthal and I certainly intend to, you know, take up the matter. Because if we could get it pinned down in law, then there would not be the possibility of an attempt by an attorney general to change what terrorism is about. You will recall that as the millennium was approaching, 2000, the Janet Reno, in her website, cited fundamentalist Christians as people who were potentially dangerous. Because some of them believe that Christ might come again or whatever. You know, there was no, absolutely no basis for that. But nevertheless, she put it on her website, and God knows how many people absorbed that and said, oh my gosh, those people are dangerous.
Well, not only that, but we saw the brochure that the FBI put out in Phoenix, and we have that posted on my website, and they list the who the terrorists are. They're people like, they talk about the Constitution. I couldn't believe, and there are people who think, you know, that there may be a second coming, something of that sort. And but, you know, there was just not one thing about Islamic terrorism, and this was in the year 2000. Did they not know there was an Islamic terrorist threat, or were they focusing the attention on the Christians, which is exactly what they were doing on that website?
Yes, in my opinion, you're quite correct.
So there really are people within the administration who hate the Christians in our society, and if they were in power, they might very well then twist the wording of this vaguely worded law, and of course, then of course it could target anybody they wanted to.
Well, right now, I don't think that the people in charge hate Christians or want to target them.
No, but there are other people.
But I'm worried about, you know, who is the next administration. My good friend John Zogby, the pollster, the one pollster who was correct in 2000 and 2002, has flatly stated that John Kerry will be the next president of the United States.
Oh, God help us.
Now, I'm not prepared to accept that, but he has stated it. He has practically put his career on the line for it, because every sign is there to dump an incumbent. I mean, I wrote a piece today in which I suggested that if Bush wins re-election, it'll be because God wants him to. I mean, it's really that bad. Well, you know, we don't know where John Kerry stands on all this kind of stuff. I suspect that he's not going to be favorable to us. But, you know, if he comes in, will he give Christians and conservatives a fair shake, or will he go after us?
Well, he is certainly the most liberal of all the senators in the United States Senate, at least his voting record is.
Liberal is not as concerning to me in this context as is where he stands on constitutional rights.
Well, that certainly is the very crux of the issue.
Because you look at Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, for example. He's almost as liberal as Kerry, but he will join with conservatives on a number of occasions to work on issues involving the Bill of Rights. And, you know, I think we could count on him as an ally on some of this stuff. So you don't want to just look at the voting record and say, oh, you know, he's a terrible liberal, we can't do anything, because there are some, you know, quote, very good conservatives, unquote, who wouldn't be worth a nickel in any fight with the administration.
Well, of course, Paul, you're a lot closer to what goes on back there than I am, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think that the important thing is, they may be liberal, but do they support the Constitution? Are they concerned about excess government control of our lives? And we would have to side with them, certainly, rather than the conservative Republican who wants all power in the government. Those are the people who really scare me.
You got it. That's exactly right. And forgive me, but my good wife just gave me a nice bowl of ice cream, and I'm trying to.
Well, you go right ahead.
Down but, between.
all right. Well, that's perfectly all right. I hope you enjoy that. Anyway, of course, I think this is one of our major concerns: is this progressive erosion of freedom under the guise of fighting terrorism. And my concern is that in the process of fighting terrorism, why Osama bin Laden could win. He could destroy the foundations of this freedom, which is based upon our Constitution and the limitations of the police state power of the federal government. And I see this police state power growing at every turn in the Office of Homeland Security, which incidentally was planned long before the 9-1-1 attack. That's part three of the report of the National Commission on Terrorism in the 21st Century, which is put out by a group I think 14 commissioners, 13 of them came from the Council on Foreign Relations, just by coincidence, of course, but they have recommended essentially what we have today. And this is this consolidation of power, and then, of course, getting the federal government to work with our local authorities, and by so doing, doing away with this concept of federalism that was the foundation of our freedom. And I'm just talking here to give you a chance to get some of that ice cream down. Please pick up the story from there.
You are exactly right. The expansion of the government has been incredible. The other night, President Bush came and spoke to the American Conservative Union, an organization which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. Founded in 1964, the time of the Goldwater era. Well, Bush got a romping, stomping reception, but not from my old colleague, Don Devine. Don Devine, who was director of personnel in the Reagan administration, who was part of Bob Dole's presidential campaign, for what that was worth, and who has been around. I served on a foundation board with him in 1973. So he's been around for a long period of time.
That's 30 years ago.
That's right. Like me, he's in his early 60s, and he refused to stand for Bush, even though he was at the head table, because he's one of the founders of ACU and one of its key players over the years. He also refused to shake Bush's hand when they had the VIP reception, you know, where they get to snap a picture and everything else. I give him credit for it in that he is so alarmed by what he sees as an expansion of government that he did not feel as if he could be hypocritical about it. Somebody told me the other day that adultery in the scriptures, in the New Testament, is mentioned only a couple of times, but hypocrisy 44 times. Now, I don't know if that's accurate, but in any case, certainly hypocrisy is a great sin, and we see it practiced every day here in Washington. So I give him credit for standing up for what he believes in. Now, some people said, well, that wasn't polite because, you know, you have to salute the office of the presidency. But I think it's time that Bush understands that there are a group of people who, as much as we may admire certain aspects of his leadership, do not respect the enormous expansion of federal power that is occurring under this administration.
Well, one of the things that really concerns me is the total fiscal irresponsibility, and even Alan Greenspan is talking about this massive deficit, and there is just no way that through the normal mechanism we can counter this, and there's many people there are really concerned that this could lead to the destruction of our economic system. Have you looked into this at all?
I have. I don't quite share the pessimism in that respect, because Bush has managed to get through two massive tax cuts. We have seen that every time there are tax cuts, we get a great expansion in government revenue. Look in the state of Virginia, for example. Earlier in the year, the Republican-controlled legislature, being prodded by Governor Mark Warner, a Democrat, passed a $1.3 billion tax increase.
You're going to have to cut that. Wait just a moment here.
All right.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy.
Leading edge dentists know the profound
in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like the corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to mention that we carry Miracle 2 soap products. Now, we can't make any medical claims for them. We can just simply tell you that an awful lot of people who use these products swear by them, and they say that they help them in many ways. We have some people who claim that they help their rashes or their acne. We have some people who use the gel for the lotions and the lotion for itching or for aches and pains and just rub it on joints. I don't know whether it works or not. All I can tell you is an awful lot of people feel it works. I know my wife does. And, of course, I've used the gel and the moisturizing soap for a couple of years now. I wouldn't be without it. And so all we could do is suggest you try the Miracle 2 soap products. You might be surprised. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and a very alkaline neutralizing solution, which many people take on a regular daily basis for heartburn. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Paul Weyrich, and we're talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and I was expressing concern about what is happening as far as the massive deficit. It's going to be probably in the neighborhood of $550 billion for the year 2004, and that's independent of all the money they're going to steal from Social Security and Medicare. And Paul is saying, well, you know, tax cuts, though, the important thing is we've had two tax cuts, and I'm all in favor of cutting taxes. I really think this is how you stimulate the economy. But Paul was beginning to say what had happened. What was that in the state of Virginia?
The state of Virginia, the legislature enacted a $1.5 billion tax increase because, oh, we were having this terrible crisis and we, you know, had to have budget cuts and everything, and to avoid this, why we you know, had to enact this stringent tax increase, which, by the way, was a lot smaller than what the Republican-controlled Senate wanted. They wanted to pass a $3 billion tax increase. Well, guess what? There is no budget crisis. Because the economy has been stimulated, and because there are more and more people finding work and so on, there now is no need for that tax increase. The budget is going to be balanced based on existing revenues. Now, do you think the governor and the legislature are going to say, oh, well, we made a mistake, we really shouldn't have raised those taxes, we're going to refund them to you? No way. They'll just keep right on going. But my point is that the crisis that everybody was talking about a couple of months ago has simply evaporated. Likewise in Maryland. The governor has advocated slot machines, which is very controversial, especially among Christian conservatives. But he said, well, we have to have this in order to balance the budget. Well, now it looks as if the budget is going to balance without anything like that. And as a result, now the leader of the Maryland state, the speaker of the lower house, is saying, we're not going to pass slots. Earlier in the year, he had said, well, all right, I guess we don't have any alternative. We've got, you know, these draconian budget cuts coming, and I just can't face my constituents. So even though I'm against slots, I'm going to have to move them along. Now he is saying, we don't need to do it because we have increased revenue that will end up balancing the budget. And I'm telling you that not all, of course, but a good substantial portion of the federal deficit will disappear as well. And you mark my word. Now, of course, if Kerry gets in and he keeps his promise and he repeals much of Bush's tax cuts, that's an entirely different matter. Then, I think we will have huge deficits, and they'll keep getting worse and so on. But I would not say that we could, you know, cure the whole problem simply by tax cuts, but I'll bet you that the problem is going to end up being less than half of what was predicted last year.
In other words, you think that this $550 billion deficit they're talking about is really only going to be about half that?
I do, yes.
All right, well...
you can check to see whether I'm right, and if I'm wrong, I'll come on and recant.
Well,
I am not an economist, and so I have a disadvantage in one sense, I don't know a lot of these things, but I have an advantage in another sense, in that I can think clearly. I don't have to be encumbered by all kinds of theories and notions. I'm just looking at what's going on.
Well, you've been around for a long time, Paul, and I have the greatest admiration for your experience, and so we're just going to have to wait and see. I'll have to admit I'm not as optimistic as you are. I hope that you're right and that I'm wrong. Only time is going to tell. But
that's right.
My concern, of course, if the war continues, and how do you feel about the war? We're going to have to take a break here in just a minute, but what are we going to do about this war? We're going to, obviously, we can't pull out. There'd be chaos, stay there. Why we seem to be losing a lot of the support from many of the people in the Arab nations. Let's get to that question as soon as we get back from this short break, right here at Radio Liberty.
you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention to you that we carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters here, and we think it's a great thing to have. It makes the water taste great, number one, and secondly, just in case there should ever be some complications or problems here, it would be great for you to be able to know that you could filter lake water or pool water or pond water or river water, and you'd at least have a source of water when a lot of people might not. And you go over to Iraq today, I mean, they still don't have in many of the areas adequate water, at least water available full time. And this is a year after the war, almost a year after the war has ended. So let me just point out that there's nothing wrong with having a water filter. The water will taste a lot better. Now the Big Berkey will take out most of the herbicides and pesticides and most of the bad things that in the water. Certainly it takes out the bacteria and the cryptosporidium and things of that sort. This is the type of filter that people who work in the missionary field have been using for 150 years. The Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. It filters 2 gallons at a time, about 24 gallons a day. It's available for $279, but it's not available in California because of the bureaucrats in Sacramento. However, the Berkey Light is a wonderful filter. It's made of Lexan. It only costs $199, and you can actually see the water levels. The difference between the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light is that the filters and the Big Berkey can be cleaned over and over again. The filters in the Berkey Light will last about 2 years, but it does a far better job at the end of 2 years if you're using it full time, where you're going to have to replace those filters. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and hopefully order either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light water filter. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got a couple of people on the line. Paul, is it all right if we take a couple of callers before we get to the work?
Of course.
All right, let's go to Ken, who's calling from San Jose. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Okay, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, I was wondering if you know where I can get a copy of the Patriot Act. I called my congressman or congresswoman's office up at Zoe Lofgren, and they really gave me the runaround about it. They sent me a summary, and then I asked for the whole act, and, you know,
Do you have a computer?
No, I don't have easy access to a computer.
All right. Paul, do you have any idea where a full copy of the Patriot Act would be available?
I think it is available at the Justice Department's website.
Well, of course, if he doesn't have a computer, I'll tell you what, Ken, we would have to charge you to give you a copy of it, but we have a full copy of it, and if you can call us off the air at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927, and we could tell you what it would cost just to run off a copy for you. Okay, it's about 150, 160 pages, but we could certainly make it available to you, okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay. Oh, and my producer says he knows you, and you have his address. But you give us, I'm going to put you on the line for my producer. They'll take your number, and I'll call you right back. Okay, after the program? Okay, and so we've got Fred, Ken on the line, and let's go to Fred and Salinas. Fred, did you have a question or comment?
Well, I just had a comment. I just want to tell your guest that I was watching a hearing today on C-SPAN, and it looked like there's a big drive now, a big push to make a lot of the provisions in the USA Patriot Act that had sunset laws that were supposed to come in 2005. It looks like they're going to try and make the whole thing permanent now.
Oh, that's right.
That's sure what I understood today.
Yeah, there's no question about it. There are certain provisions of the bill that were what is called sunsetted. That is to say, they expire, even though the rest of the bill would continue, and they expire unless Congress explicitly reverses that expiration. And
it sure looks like that's what's happening.
Yeah, well, it is what's happening, because the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Jim Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin, has become convinced that those of us who are critics of the Patriot Act have it all wrong. And so he is moving ahead with it. Now, I don't think we'll see a vote on it in this Congress. In a very real sense, it may take a Kerry victory in order to defeat that act, and I'm not advocating that. I'm just telling you that Kerry has come out against it. Bush is militantly in favor of it, and right now the Republicans control the Congress, and so they are saying, we want to continue.
But I mean, there certainly there are conservative congressmen there who say we don't want this at all. So there is really a division within the Republican Party.
It was the conservatives that really wanted it to continue.
Not the real conservatives. In my estimation,
unfortunately, there aren't many of them, and some of them, like Dick Armey, for example, who in the last Congress really fought to get those sunset provisions in the bill. Well, he's no longer majority leader. And Tom DeLay, who took his place, is not as enthused about those provisions as Dick Armey was.
Right, and I wish that Dick Armey was there myself. I think he was a good man. Anyway, thanks so much for calling, Fred.
And
let's go to Dave calling in from Illinois. Dave, did you have a question or comment?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, real quick comment about the economy. I was just distracted during that part of the program, so I didn't exactly hear what your guest said about it. But I did know he's rather optimistic about it. I want to remind him that, this free trade zone of the Americas, I think we'll get, whether no matter who wins the White House. If we get the FTAA, we're going to see the jobs leave this country in a whirlwind.
All right, let's get a Paul's response to that. How do you feel about NAFTA and the free trade zone of the Americas?
I never favored it. I would not have voted for it. I urged people I have some influence with to vote against it. But it has a momentum behind it which is unlike practically anything that you can talk about.
Like maybe the people really believe in globalization.
Yeah, they do, and they claim there are all these benefits and everything. I have yet to see them.
Right, I agree with you totally. Dave, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, a quick comment. I'm worried, gentlemen, about this country's future, the Patriot Act and everything, is that, one of our founding fathers said that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And look at the American people right now. There's such apathy and complacency. When I look at my fellow Americans, I see zero vigilance. I mean zero.
Well,
and that's why I'm concerned.
All right. I share your concern, Dave, but believe me, I'm on the front lines of this battle, and I see an awful lot of people who are waking up to what's going on. And I think that one of the things that's waking them up is this war over in Iraq. How do you feel about, first of all, going into the war in Iraq, and secondly, are staying in the war in Iraq?
Well, now that we're there, I don't see that we have any alternative but to continue to stay there. There was a real question about our going there in the first place. I think it now has been clear that it was based on faulty intelligence. Why George Tenet is still CIA director, I will never understand. I mean, he clearly gave Bush misleading and false information. And, if I had been president and somebody had presented me with what George Tenet presented George Bush, I'd have probably made the same decision. Because I think he genuinely thought he was protecting the people of the United States, but it turns out that he wasn't.
Well, I wish you were the President of the United States, and I will vote for you any time, Paul. Let's go to back to Dave, calling back again from Illinois. Now, Dave, do you have a question?
Well, a quick comment here. As far as what's happening, what you guys are talking about, I agree that this war, you know, one thing that really bothers me a lot is that 9/11 occurred. We're in this question. We're now in this, what I think is a totally unconstitutional war. And beyond a doubt, tremendous mistakes have been made, beyond a doubt. And gentlemen, I'm seeing no accountability. I mean, none.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is just not right.
And in fact, nobody has yet to be fired for all the mistakes of 9/11 and for the faulty intelligence. You have to ask yourself, why? Thanks so much, Dave. I think your points. Well, my concern is that it's going to drag on. And pictures that have been shown throughout the world, why the government released those pictures. Why they? Because I don't believe it should roll, but no heads ever seem to roll. You have to ask yourself why.
That's a good question. You're absolutely right. There is no. And these things go on. Who is responsible and, you know, how far it went to the top? I'm perfectly prepared to believe that this was maybe a dozen younger people who went off the track. And, you know, I don't think that Don Rumsfeld or other people ordered this. But surely we have to find out who knew what. And, you know, it shouldn't take 9 congressional investigations in 5 years to find out that either.
Well, of course, the Philippine two-star general who's come up with the report has been severely criticized for his integrity in coming out and pointing out what was going on. And apparently there were people working for these private contractors that were sort of in charge of the prison there. And how can you have a private contractor in charge of these investigations, the interrogations? This somehow just doesn't seem quite right. You would think they would have military intelligence people, not private contractors that are in charge of interrogations.
Yes, very questionable. But, you know, the whole way the war is being run is strange. The one thing that I thought I understood about George Bush was that if we got into a war, he would allow the military people to run, that he was not going to interfere with it the way that, you know, LBJ ran the war in Vietnam. Lo and behold, what are we doing? We're having the political people, including Colin Powell, dictating how the war is to be run. I mean, you know, this just isn't right. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm deeply concerned that really the attitude of the Muslim people, I think probably most people in the world, after 9/11 were solidly behind America. I think that was probably the highest point, and the president mobilized the people to strike back at the terrorists, and then instead of going after the terrorists and getting Osama bin Laden, al-Zawahiri, and Sheikh Omar, or Muhammad Omar, whatever his name was, the head of the Taliban, why we went to war with Iraq. And I think a lot of people really question whether that was the right thing, whether we were really going after the terrorists or there was another agenda in our attack on Iraq. Have you looked into that? Have you gone into the background of the Project for the New American Century or this little group of neoconservatives who seem so intent upon going to war?
Yeah, I think the part of it was their agenda. They are essentially Wilsonians, make the world safe for democracy.
Right.
It's all nice in theory. It is all nice in utopia. But in the real world, it doesn't work. And, you know, I wish them well, but I'm afraid that a lot of resources and a lot of people are going to be expended in this, grand little experiment. And I think it's clearly a mistake. But, those who say that we're only there for oil, that's not right either. I am convinced that George Bush did this based on bad intelligence. And I am convinced that he was convinced that he was absolutely doing the right thing. He is a very decent man. I know him fairly well. And he's a very decent man, and he doesn't seek to do harm. He's not vicious or nasty or, you know, anything of the sort. But, you know, if you're fed the wrong information, you're going to make the wrong decision, that's all.
Well, do you think that I'm more concerned about some of the people who surround the president than I am about the president? And this is, of course, this little pre-NAC group, as you call them, Wilsonians, and for our listeners out there who don't remember Woodrow Wilson.
I don't remember him either.
he had a dream, and of course, one of them was to make the world safer democracy, and second one was, we were going to fight the war to end all wars. That was the slogan of the First World War, and that's why how we got the American people to go along with World War One in 1917, and just 2 months after Woodrow Wilson was elected on the platform of he kept us out of war, why Woodrow Wilson was asking the Congress for a declaration of war to bring us into World War One, but it was the war to make the world safer democracy, the war to end all wars. And that just didn't quite work out, did it?
No, it certainly did not. And as a matter of fact, Wilsonian politics has been considered a failure until its revival by these neoconservatives. Nobody wishes that Israel and the Palestinians and all of these various countries in the Middle East could get along and, you know, could run democratic type countries and not have religious wars and everything else more than I do. But in reality, we have in Iraq a country that was artificially put together after the First World War, as a matter of fact, and there are three different factions within the country. They do not think of themselves as Iraqis. They consider themselves as Shiites and Sunnis and Kurds and so on. There's a small group of Christians that are being persecuted. Nobody seems to care about that. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that we're trying to forge out of this in, like, what, 5 weeks or something like that, a democratic system.
I mean, the 30th of
I'm sorry, but it ain't going to work.
I'm sure you're right, and I'm deeply concerned about what's happening. Well, let's get some information out about the Free Congress Foundation, because it's a wonderful source of information. How about your website and some of the things that you're doing there at Free Congress to preserve the so-called conservative movement that, of course, at one time was leading America, I think, away from problems. But, well, anyway, the conservative movement is certainly in disarray today. But how can people get in touch with your organization?
Well, the best way to do it is to go to our website at www.freecongress.org. And there you'll find our website. You can download our commentaries. You can look at our various publications. You can go to our different segments. One of the things we do 5 days a week is we provide radio stations with actualities, things that are happening here that you probably would not get covered by the other media. That's called FCF, Free Congress Foundation, News on Demand. And there is a link from our website to that website where you can actually listen to these actualities. And Stan, I urge you to have your people tape these and use them during your broadcast.
Well, we'll certainly give it very serious consideration. It's the first time I've heard of it. So we'll look into that. But I think it's so important that the average person across America knows what's going on in Washington, D.C., because you're sure not going to learn about it from the New York Times, the Washington Post, and yes, even sometimes from the Wall Street Journal.
Well, that's right. And we do our best to tell the truth. You know, it isn't always easy. because, there are times when people have misled us. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and say that we are the great oracle that is always correct and everything else. We're not. We've made our share of mistakes. But I think, on the whole, if you look what we have produced over the years, it stands up much better than practically anything else out there.
Well, they've got a lot of good people working there and doing research and putting the information out. Paul, thank you so much for being with us. I hope we can get you on some of our other programs here and bring your wisdom of all these years you've been back in Washington, D.C. to our listeners across
America. Yeah, 38 years, so you keep reminding me.
God bless you. Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Sam.
Really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention, first of all, there's going to be a conspiracy conference. It's going to be held over in the Santa Clara area on the 29th and 30th. That's not this weekend, but the following weekend. And this is going to certainly have speakers. Joyce Riley's going to be there, Len Horowitz, Rodney Stitch. Well, I hope Rodney's going to make it. Rodney has had some serious illness, just came on yesterday. He missed our evening program, but hopefully he will be available. But Eric Schmidt, and it looks like a great lineup of speakers. Now, I have to say there's one or two I don't agree with, but then I'm sure there's some people that don't agree with me as well. And so if you're interested in going to the conspiracy conference, why, it's going to be Saturday and Sunday all day long. Should be a fascinating experience. I'm going to have a booth there, and if you come, I'll be glad to meet you. Look forward to meeting you. The telephone number to call is 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999, or go to their website at conspiracycon.com. And then we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to getting a kit from the Institute of the Constitution so that you can begin to learn about the Christian history of America, so you can learn about the Christian beliefs of our founding fathers and the fact that our laws were based upon the Holy Scriptures. And there was no question that America was unique from all other nations for one reason. Here it was acknowledged that freedom came from God, not from government. Well, you can, of course, put these programs on for in your church, in your schools. The number to call is 886-730-8796. That's 886-730-9796. That's 9796. And why don't you give them a call and get a kit? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family, because that's how we're able to do what we do. 5 days or 5 hours, 5 days a week, 5 hours every day. And of course, then we have our weekend program that's heard on 36 stations. Now, I wish we had a lot more, but there's almost 60 outlets every week. We had 600 outlets every week. Why, we'd be reaching a lot more people. So with your help and with God's help, hopefully we're going to be able to continue expanding. We started with one station, and we've come a long way from there. But if you would like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And And then, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, why, you can get that at that same number. We hope that many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can pull down our newsletters there for nothing. Or, of course, we hope you want to subscribe to the newsletter, but you can get them there for nothing. You have our permission to copy the newsletters. You can listen to our programs there live 3 hours a day, and then link to our other two programs, the Genesis program, this one. You can listen to our early morning program at the American Freedom Network. You can listen to our archives, and we have archives of the Radio Liberty programs. That's 3 hours a day for back for 6 weeks. And then make copies, distribute them, get other people questioning what's going on today. And then, of course, we do hope many of you will want to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or The Brotherhood of Darkness Special, which is the book, the video, and the audio tape. We hope that many of you out there will want to get the video, Iraq, the Untold Story, because I feel that it was a terrible mistake to go into Iraq, but I believe it was all planned long ahead of time, having nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. And when you, of course, read the material put forward by the Project for the New American Century, this little clique of 25 people who've taken over our government, they began organizing back in 1997. You can go to their website at newamericancentury.org, or you can, of course, get our syllabus and the materials all there. And they were calling for a catastrophic or catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor so they could pursue their goals and objectives. And you know what? On September 11th, 2001, we had a catastrophic and catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. Isn't that interesting? And then who were these people? Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, Liddy, all of those people and many others from this little clique are in key positions in government or in the media and molding what the American people think to go along with this. It's amazing what 25 people with a plan can do. And the fact most people have never heard of the Project of the New American Century, it simply reflects the degree of control that exists today of what the American people think, but it's all there in our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and get the syllabus with it if you possibly can. And of course, you need to get our Sustainable Development syllabus, our four-tape set on sustainable development, and, of course, you need to get our syllabus on the Millennium Summit and our four-tape set on the Millennium Madness. We have videos that go with sustainable development and with Millennium Madness. And you need to understand there is a plan to create a one-world government. And that's what globalization is all about. That's what NAFTA and the free trade area of the Americas is all about. These people whose dedication is not to America, but to this dream of a new world order and a new world religion. And who's going to head the religion? Who's going to head this new world government? Well, you need to get our material. You need to get the video we have called Lucifer's Children, or the book. It will take you back into Plato's writings. And, of course, this is a well-organized plan. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. Pray for America. Pray for revival in America. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, until Monday. May the Lord be with you.